Our first scripture reading today is from the book of Exodus, chapter 24, 12 through 18. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for your instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Our next scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew as we celebrate in the liturgical calendar the Sunday of the Transfiguration of the Lord. As we read this text from Matthew and as we hear the earlier story from Exodus, we're reminded that the book of Matthew, as it is told, reflects in many ways the story of Moses in the book of Exodus. There are many, many similarities between the two stories as the writer of Matthew draws on the story of Moses in Exodus in order to enlighten the people of their time of the role that Jesus is playing in the overall history of the Jewish people. And so we have Jesus in numerous places that are very similar to Moses in the book of Exodus. And so we hear from the 17th chapter of Matthew, a time when Jesus goes to a mountaintop to encounter the presence of God. So let us listen to these familiar words with new ears as we listen for God's word and God's presence in our lives. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud, a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. For the word in creation, for the Word in Scripture and for the Word within us. Thanks be to God. You know, one of the things about living in a tourist destination, which the month of March definitely is around here, when people come to visit, oftentimes we become tourists too. We go and do things with them in our own community that we often ignore or forget are right down the road or right around the corner. Have you had that experience? I know all the years that we lived in Washington, D.C. as well, the same dynamic took place. There were so many things to do, just like in our own community, but we didn't bother to do them until somebody came to visit. Well, last Tuesday, we had this happen to us as we took Peg's sister, who's visiting with us, to the Pinellas County Library in downtown Clearwater. Now, you didn't know that was a tourist destination, did you? Well, did you know that every Tuesday at 5:30 from November to March during the non-daylight savings time, that the library's fifth floor observation deck is open to the public to watch the sunset? How many of you knew that? How many of you have been there? Oh, you need some visitors. Well, while we were there at the observation deck, and we didn't get to see the sunset, there was a thick cloud of banks right at the horizon, so we didn't get to see the sunset. But you know what? A library staff person came out and set up a telescope, because in the blue sky just above that bank of clouds, visible to the naked eye, if you knew where to look, was the planet Venus. And you could see this tiny dot, the planet Venus there. But we had a telescope set up, and everybody was called over to look through the telescope and look at the planet Venus, and we saw this tiny, what looked like a tiny fingernail moon. Because Venus runs through phases just like our moon does. And it was in a crescent phase. And through the telescope, we could see that crescent planet in the sky. And even in the crescent phase, it was brilliant. So bright, we could see it in the blue sky. Now, 2 days later, on Thursday, in a brief respite from all of the news stories of turmoil and fake news about fake news, here on our own planet, NASA scientists reported some real news. Did you hear that news? It was news about the discovery of 7 Earth-sized planets orbiting around the nearby star TRAPPIST-1. Now, nearby meaning a mere 39 light years away, with a light year being, let's say, light travels at 186,000 miles per second. So that's a long way. But it's nearby when it comes to our cosmos. And there are 7 Earth-like planets orbiting this star. Now, I had one friend on Facebook ask, well, you know, why are these 7 distant planets such a big story? And another friend replied, because these days there are so many people wishing they could leave this one. But after looking at that planet Venus in the sky, after hearing this news of seven planets orbiting this star, I wondered what it would be like to be a space traveler. Imagine standing on Venus and looking into the sky and seeing our Earth much the same way that we see it in photographs from satellites and other spaceships, both with and without humans in them. As a matter of fact, if Kathy would just go to the next slide, I want you to look at this slide. You can't see it. I can hardly see it. There's a tiny dot, but you can see the word Earth with an arrow pointing toward that tiny dot. And this is an actual photograph from NASA from the Mars rover. And this is what Earth looks like from the surface of the planet Mars. And then you realize that we are space travelers. We, all of us, are on the spaceship Earth, hurling through the vastness of space. In our gospel reading this morning, after this spectacular light show and visions of Moses and Elijah and voices from clouds, after all that is gone, the story says, "And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus." Now, I want us to imagine if, like a space traveler, free of Earth's gravity, if Christians around the world could strip away centuries of interpretation, doctrine, rules, systemization, and institutionalization, if we could strip all that away and see no one but Jesus. Of course, this is nearly impossible, because really all we know of Jesus comes through the witness of those who believed him to be the Jewish Messiah, a great prophet, a miracle worker, and even God in the flesh. So it's hard to know exactly who someone really is when we have heard only those things about them. And it's so hard to know one another personally because we have our stories that surround other people, our stereotypes. And sometimes we have trouble even knowing who we ourselves are, sifting through layer upon layer of culturally imposed expectations and self-deception. And the point I'm making is that whoever the person Jesus really was, he quickly became much more through stories such as the one we just heard. So when we say we are followers of Jesus, who are we talking about? Is Jesus a humble Jewish peasant who goes about teaching and healing? Is Jesus a social, political zealot who seeks the collapse of an empire? Is Jesus a religious leader who seeks to reform his religion according to new interpretations? Is he a man-god who is the key to some cosmic plan to save humanity on this little planet from damnation? You see, these are some traditional interpretations of who Jesus is. And it's simple enough to say we're followers of Jesus, but we first have to come to some kind of understanding of who Jesus is in order to follow Jesus. And I would suggest to us this morning that we, like a space traveler, leaving the gravity of our own planet, try to let some things go. And when we think of Jesus, when we read the Gospels, we may discover a simple man with a message. A message that he not only proclaims in words, but that he lives every day. We may see someone who, through his own life experiences, learns to genuinely love other people, regardless of their social status, their race, and we may even see some of his own cultural prejudices that occasionally sneak through the stories. We may see and hear Jesus proclaiming and living this life that he calls the kingdom, which is a life of compassion, justice, and love. We may hear a simple message: love God and neighbor with every ounce of integrity we can muster. We may see a person who is different enough from the norm that he is the object of ridicule and laughter, while at the same time secretly envied by those who ridicule and laugh. We may see a man whose message was simple: be a good neighbor. A message that was always grounded in everyday things of life, and he taught with a transparent acceptance that welcomes the innocent, the frightened, and the skeptical. A simple message and a simple man. But how could life be so simple? When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. When all of the blinding lights and voices from heaven are gone, the one left standing before us is a common man with a simple message. When asked once to give the secret of eternal life, the secret of eternal life, Jesus said, love God with all of your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. What would our world be like if we could get past all of our cultural, political, and religious trappings to live this simple message? And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. When all of the blinding lights and voices in heaven are gone, what we see is a truly awesome, amazing universe in which we are just a little speck. But most of all, we see each other. And I think that may be what this story is trying to tell us. That when we let go of all of these other things and we look around our lives, we see one another. Amen. You know, there are a lot of strange stories in our Bible. And we've briefly dealt with a couple of them this morning. Shining faces and lights and glowing people and voices from clouds. One of the things about this story is that voice that says, "You are my son in whom I am well pleased. You are the beloved." Now, what Jesus does with that, if we get into the story, what Jesus does with that is Jesus turns right around and starts telling everybody else, "You are beloved. You are the presence of God. You are the salt. You are the light." And so that voice in this story is telling us all that we hold this eternal, mysterious presence in our lives. That's really the amazing part of this story. The little chorus we just sang, that one line says, "You are mirrored in our stories." You want to see the presence of God? Look in a mirror. Turn that mirror so that you can see your neighbor's reflection in it. Look at your neighbor in the face. Let us go from this place, my friends, knowing that even in creation, when God said, "Let there be light," we end up being the light. Amen.